Today's scripture comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we are indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
I thank our brother for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Would you please join with me in prayer? Thank you, God, for your word that informs, inspires, stretches, challenges, comforts, and reminds us, most of all, of your grace and how you continue to pursue us. We are your people. And we love you. And it's in the name of Christ, our King, that we pray. Amen. Why did Jesus come into the world? I'm not waiting for an answer. Just ponder that. Why did Jesus come into the world? What would have been his mission statement, if you will? You know, I've become a student of mission statements. And actually, I don't necessarily like mission statements. Because anyone who has been part of a corporation, or for that matter, a church, can tell you stories of an awful lot of time spent on creating a mission statement, dialogues, study groups, test groups, individuals working long hours, and they come up with a mission statement, and then you ask somebody in the company what the mission statement is, and they have no clue at all. Our annual conference actually has quite a long mission statement, and I will apologize and confess before each and every one of you right now, I don't know what it is. It's a number of paragraphs, actually. You can find it on the conference website if you're really interested. We, you see, are more than people of mission statements. In other words, we are more than people of our own efforts and doings. And when we understand that, we understand more fully God's grace and more fully how God has approached us first. We did not act first. God acted first in the world and therefore in our lives. That means something. If God has acted in our lives and in our life as a church, then that means we are called to respond. Not take time and say, "Well, let's develop a mission statement to order how we respond." If God has acted in our lives, then we are called to be channels of his grace, of that action, if you will. Maybe you never really thought about grace as an action, but it is. It's a powerful action of God upon his creation and his created ones. That means each and every one of us. God, you see, is seeking for us to therefore now go out into his world to share the good news, to love, to lift up the name of Christ above all names. And I'm not just talking about on the golf course. I'm talking about all places. To share hope and to witness to how God has been at work in our lives. It's not really complex, and yet it can be a challenge, no question about it. Living the faith. Living it. Offering it. In the nitty-gritty of life. In the challenging times of life. To be God's people. To be his kingdom people. To be his church. Today, we think about God's kingdom in a specific way. We think about it because we think about our King, Christ. In the church calendar year, this is Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday, whichever you prefer. And what that reminds us of is that Christ is in charge of our lives, that Christ is our King, not an earthly King, mind you, but rather a King of all eternity, a King of things unseen, a King who is at work on our behalf. Those are things that people have always struggled with down through the ages, especially the idea of a King at work on our behalf. Kings and rulers down through the ages have gotten a reputation of being self-centered, of being individuals that are going to be thinking about themselves first. And in fact, there are plenty of examples of individuals who are quite evil. Christ is a whole different kind of leader for us. Christ is one who bears the burden, who paid the ultimate price, who went through a great deal of agony and excruciating pain so that we could have newness in our life. You see, he really was looking out for us, really was seeking the best for us. For us, as people of God, we understand that we're entering into a new year as well. Did you know that? The Christian calendar starts with the first Sunday of Advent, and believe it or not, ready or not, it's next Sunday. Wow, that's the most response I've gotten in my whole sermon so far. The first Sunday of Advent, it means Christmas tree's got to go up. Means we have to shop. My gosh, we got to get into mode. You know, I see these commercials for Target for this woman who's practicing for shopping. This red pantsuit, and she's dragging carts full of bricks, and she's, you know, preparing to shop, and it's absurd. But there are people that really get into it, you know? Man, they get into a whole nother gear. And in fact, they would probably say, don't talk to me about God until after the holidays, please, Pastor. What I would invite you to do is consider not only this week, but then next Sunday, a new year. You know, we have resolutions at the beginning of the calendar year, January 1st. They last varied amounts of times. But our resolution heading into especially a very key time of the year for Christians, a key time of witnessing, I should say, the resolution I'd ask you to make is that you live as though Christ was your King. You live as though Christ was your King. It's a simple mission statement, isn't it? I think we can all remember that. I'm going to live as though Christ is my King. Can you say that? Can you remember that? Starting next Sunday and heading into this week, there are going to be a lot of challenges for Christians and an awful lot of times to be able to witness. I'm not simply talking about doing things that we might not normally do the rest of the year. I'm talking about, what does our faith show? How are we going to live as though Christ really was in charge of our lives? What is it that God's going to guide us to do? How is He going to be moving in us, stretching us, putting us in places and with people that we never thought we would be with, and maybe we're uncomfortable with, and yet, if Christ is our King, and He's putting us there, we need to follow. Why is Christ our King? It's an odd scripture in some ways to have on Christ the King Sunday, isn't it? Somewhat. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. A little note about why the details of the crucifixion were so clear and why it was stated in such a way so that there could be no doubt as to what happened. The Roman government, if nothing else, was efficient, okay? And they wanted to make sure the crucifixion was done right. And they also wanted to make sure the crucifixion made an impact on those who saw it. So there were specific rules and guidelines for crucifixion. Certainly, there were a lot of ways that it happened. Sometimes someone was hung upside down and crucified. Sometimes they were impaled. It's not a pleasant thing, and yet it's a real thing. And for us today, to be able to grasp what happened for us makes the kingship of Christ even more poignant and even more powerful. My friends, He did this for you. If I could look in each and every one of your eyes, in each and every one of your faces right now, individually, I would right now. Just pretend I'm doing that. He did it for you, specifically. There was abuse, there was heckling, all sorts of things that went on. The people stood by watching, but the leaders scoffed at Him, saying, "He saved others. Let Him save Himself if He's the Messiah of God, His chosen one." The Messiah of God, the chosen one, was soon to become the Savior, the delivered one, the risen one, the one who rose so that we will all rise again one day. The soldiers also mocked Him, coming up and offering Him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And one of the criminals derided Him. "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. Come on, help me! Help me!" There have been times in each of our lives also, maybe, where we haven't necessarily honored Christ as our King or lived in that way, and yet when push came to shove, at that point we say, "God, come on, I'm counting on you." Have you prepared yourself to receive God's grace, is my question. Let me say it in this way. Have you prepared yourself to be able to pay attention to when God's grace hits you? Because it will. If you haven't been living as Christ is your King, then friends, you won't be prepared. God's grace is going to wash over you, no question about it. We have an awesome God. We have a loving God. We have a gracious God. It's going to wash over you in waves. And yet if you haven't been living as though Christ is your King, you're going to miss it. And yet what happens here? The other rebuked his fellow criminal. They're nailed, they're crucified. They're crucified. And the other criminal rebukes the other one on the other side of Jesus and simply says this, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now I have to say to you that paradise was originally something that was co-opted, if you will, by the Jewish and Christian faith. It was a Persian term for the king's hunting grounds, originally. But then it was co-opted into symbolizing the Garden of Eden, a perfect place once again. In fact, paradise, in the translation of the Bible that I'm reading, is with a capital P. That means it's a place of release, of perfection, of peace, of love. And yet to get there, sometimes we have to go through the muck, don't we? And it's not really necessarily simply about getting there, I should say, but it's about living as though Christ is our King here and now. Let me tell you a story. Jimmy Allen was an inmate that I visited the Yuma County Jail. And his memorial service was yesterday. Judy went. I wasn't able to make it, but I wish I had. Now, it was in one of those traditions where whenever they get in worship, they don't worry about looking at the clock. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's called a homegoing. I did one back in Pennsylvania. I participated in one for an African-American saint. You see, I was serving a church that had combined two church and a white church and an African-American church. And whenever Miss Lila Washington went on to glory and she lived as Christ was her king, it was 2.5 hours of homegoing, singing and praising and crying. And I think I just laid down on the floor after that was done. It's fantastic. But Jimmy Allen had a homegoing yesterday. And Judy came home and was just absolutely humbled by what had taken place. Jimmy Allen, in his life, at times, was not a good person. In fact, he was a gang member. In fact, in the gang, he had a particular job. Whenever they had to send somebody out as an enforcer, or to stab someone, or to shoot someone, Jimmy Allen was sent out. And his life led him to jail often. And that's where I met him, and actually met my wife first, and then we met. And in jail, he said, "You know, I'd like to be able to read the Bible. Do you think I could get one?" Because of the generosity of this place, he was able to get one and start reading it. But you see, while he was reading it also, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and it had progressed and started eating away at him, literally. So Jimmy wasn't long for this world. But you know, he had a hunger. He had a hunger about learning more about this king called Jesus. He wanted to learn more about this person that he heard had died for his sins so that he could have eternal life, so that he could be saved. He wanted to learn about this promised one, the Messiah, this Savior, this delivered one. And so he read the Bible and we prayed and talked, and he learned more, and he accepted a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his King. He was eventually released from jail because they knew that he'd never serve out his term, and he was released basically into hospice care to die. And before Jimmy died, he spoke with the youth at his church, and he told them his life, and he bared it all. Confessed to all of them, and then said, "Don't wait until it's too late to accept this King into your life, to allow him to rule and guide your path. He died. At the homegoing, the youth that he'd talked to had developed this liturgical dance. And Judy was describing it to me, and it was beautiful. A Jimmy character comes up and is accepting all sorts of evil things, and is accepting them readily. And then there is a Christ figure that's trying to get his attention in the back of the room and jumping up and down and waving his arms. And finally, this Christ figure starts making his way through the crowd, peeling away at the people, and comes up and pushes away that which is evil and keeps Jimmy just surrounded in his love. And the evil influences are clawing at the Christ figure, and Christ just continues to stand there and protect that one who he died for. A beautiful image, isn't it? Yet each and every one of us is in that place. Each and every one of us has received that gift as well. A king, a Messiah, a Savior who has died for us. How is he ruling in your life? How do other people see Christ as king in what you do and say? In our time of discipleship this morning, I would invite you to simply be open to God's grace. It is such an important time for us as a church, for us as individuals, as Christians, to remember who our King is. The world needs that now more than ever. And I would invite you to join with me. Listen to the music. Close your eyes. Think about that question. How is Christ King in my life? Is he King over my entire life? Have I handed it all over to him as my Lord and Savior? If not, maybe there's something that you need to hand over now. If you haven't accepted a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ, or if you'd like to renew that, you can do that right now. Just you and God. He loves you. You're his child. Be open to his grace.